You're listening to the Household of Christ podcast. Be encouraged and inspired as we dive into God's Word.
So this morning, the message that I want to share with you is a message of faith. So we want to see how we have received faith, what faith means, and how to maintain our faith. But that's not the sermon topic. The sermon topic today is our confession. Amen. That's why I wanted us to focus on our declaration so that we know what we're confessing. So let's just quickly look at faith. We're going to take it stepwise and then we just work it through to the end and hopefully the things will tie up in the end. Amen. So let's go to Hebrews 11 verse 1. So Hebrews 11 verse 1 tells us what faith is. If you're ready, we can go. So now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it elders obtained a good testimony. Amen. So if you look at it in the natural, how can faith, be what it is? If we look at, when we grew up, it said seeing is believing. You know, the old people used to say, seeing is glo. You know, seeing is believing. But it's contrary to the spiritual blessing of faith. Amen. So if you look at faith, it's definitely not based on feeling. Faith is not a feeling. So here we can see that it's the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So, if you can believe that the things that you can't see will manifest, it can only happen by the Word of God and Jesus Christ. So that is what faith is, okay? It's going into the unseen, where our natural always says, I want to be able to touch something. I want to see the results. I want to feel it. It's sense-based. It's flesh-based. But faith works differently. Faith believes before the breakthrough comes. Faith believes before the healing comes. And it's because of that faith that you have that the healing can come through Jesus Christ. Amen. The next scripture we want to look at is how we get our faith. So we're going to go to Romans 12:3. So sometimes we see people saying, they declare, I don't have faith, I don't have faith. If you look at the Word of God actually says all of us have faith. So there's no reason for us to doubt our faith. We must doubt our doubts, we mustn't doubt our faith. Amen? So let's look what the scripture says. Romans 12:3 says, for I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of themselves more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Each one of us got a measure of faith. Amen? So firstly, we understand what faith is. Now we know that we've got a measure of faith. The question is now, what do we do with that measure of faith that we've got? Is it big enough? Is it small enough? You know, that's the thing that we always think about is, do I have enough faith to see this thing through? The fact of the matter is we need to have faith in God, not faith in our faith. Amen? So we need to have faith in God, who is the author, the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. So if we have a faith placed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you never have to worry about whether you're good enough because your faith is in God, not your own abilities. Amen? All right, so Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So if you feel that your faith is a little bit on the low side, just hear more of the Word of God. And oftentimes when we get distracted, work things, life things, things happen to us, we often feel that you don't spend enough time in the Word. You know, you have to sharpen the knife all the time and sharpen the axe. You need to spend time in the Word of God that you can fill your hearts with the right thing. Amen? So if you fill your hearts with the right thing, you will be in a much better position than filling it with things of the world. If we look at social media today, and I'm using it as an example, I use social media myself. I'm not against it. It's just, if there's abnormal use, it's an issue. But if you look at how social media works, it works on algorithms. It's very smartly designed, you know, to whatever you like to see is what they feed you. Amen. And our hearts resembles that quite a bit. What you put into your heart and what you fill your heart with will overflow out of your mouth. It will overflow out of your life. Amen. So let's just see. So it says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you want to increase your faith, spend more time with God, spend more time in the Bible. So we know that if you have to replace the dark things in your heart, so there's the heart is a bad thing. The word of God says the heart is deceitful above all things. Amen. So we have to fill our hearts with the right things. So moving on from faith, we now have to say, okay, what happens next? Now I feel I've got the faith. I'm spending time with the word of God. I believe that the Lord Jesus, or God, gave me faith before I even got born again. When I hated him most, he gave me faith. I've got all of this now, but what do I do with the faith? I build up my faith in the Most High God. But now when I hit work, someone asks me something, I say, we'll never make it. We're not going to do it. We'll never make the deadlines. We'll never achieve this target. We'll never this, never that. And guess what? You don't achieve your targets because you're not living your faith. So for your confession to be successful, it needs your heart's full agreement. So what's in your faith must come out, what's in your faith and in your heart must come out of your mouth as well. So you must see it, you must believe it, and then speak it. You mustn't just run off on a tangent and let the things of the world, you know, get to you. So if you look at creation, Jesus himself, you know, created by faith and by word. So if we go, I want to share one more scripture with you, or a few scriptures. They're all from Hebrews 11. So Hebrews 11 is a faith chapter. So you can go and read that chapter. But I just want to show you when people exercise faith, what can happen. And you all know these stories. So I'm just going to quickly go through them. I'm not going to read all the scriptures. But by faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Amen. By faith. Not by his own ability, but by faith. By faith, Enoch was taken away, and he did not see death. By faith, Noah built the ark. Remember when Noah built the ark, they said that it hadn't rained on earth. So, you know, people couldn't comprehend, why would you make an ark for a flood? What flood? What will bring the flood? They couldn't even comprehend rain, let alone comprehend the flood. And when Noah built the ark, you know, people laughed at him. You know, what are you doing? Are you crazy? The man's crazy. Look at this monstrosity that he's building. You know, so, but by faith he built it. By faith, Abraham went into the promised land. By faith, not by his own ability. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child. So what situation are you in at the moment? What situation are you in that you feel is bigger than your faith? And if it's bigger than your faith, who is rooted in God, are you declaring that your situation is bigger than God? Think about it. So without faith, it's impossible to please God. We cannot, everything the Word of God says, everything that is not done by faith is sin. So irrespective of your feelings, we said faith is not a feeling, irrespective of your feelings, just know that your actions must be rooted in faith. Otherwise, it's sin. So yes, our confession is important. What are you confessing over your situation? So we're saying that for your confession to have power, must be in full agreement with your heart. Amen. Now we know we fill our heart with the word of Christ. Now we're going to start confessing the good things. So check that algorithm. Fill your heart with the right thing. It says Jeremiah 17 verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So more reason for us to impart the word of God into our hearts. Amen. So let's go to Luke 6 verse 45 and see what happens if the treasure of your heart is set in a certain way. It says there, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. Amen. Start filling your heart with the word of God, that whatever comes out is Christ-filled. Amen. It's not feelings, it's not emotions, it's not your intelligence. Amen. So if you look at the declaration that we just declared, that entire declaration Pastor developed it's 20 years ago, 2006. Amen. So I had to think now, but I know it was 20 years ago, 2006. And many people sitting here have been here 5, 10, 15, 20 years or more. We've been declaring this over ourselves. And if we understand that entire declaration is actually a declaration from the Word of God. I'm going to give you the first two sentences that we declare, just to show you what it is. In Romans 8, verse 19, it says, "For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly awaits for the revealing of the sons of God." So I'm a son of God revealed. Amen. I'm blessed with every blessing in Christ Jesus. So that's why this declaration and what you declare over your life will change your life forever. So the question we'd like to ask you today is, and Pastor asked us many times, he asked us this question. He said, are you living the life that you're confessing? Because we know what power lies in our mouths. So if you're living the life that you're confessing, why are you complaining? Why are you murmuring? Because you've got the ability, you've got the power, you've got the authority from God to speak life or speak death. Amen. So if you're living the life that you're confessing, you shouldn't be complaining because you're confessing it over yourself. So if your life is not going the way that it should, or there's places, and all of us have places where we can always improve and do better, in that case, just change your confession. So let's change our confession and see and measure what happens in our lives. Amen. So 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." So, you know, the Lord died on the cross so that we can receive the Holy Spirit. It's one of the benefits. We got the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when you say something, you immediately know, I wasn't supposed to say that. Or before you say something, you're in a crowd and you're tempted to also give your opinion about someone. You just randomly open your mouth and you say something bad. Because there's still a few places in your heart where you need to fill with blessing and not cursing. You have to fill with love and not hatred or offense. Amen. So, yes, we have to declare what we believe about God. Our declaration in a time of challenge tells us what we believe about the Lord Jesus. So if you're saying the situation is going to get me, I'm the tail. No, you're not the tail. We often declare at prayer meetings, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. I'm going over, I'm not going under. Defeat and failure are things of the past. I'm walking with the Lord. Amen. That's a declaration because I am the head, because the Bible says I'm the head. It's not opinion, and no one with his opinion can tell me I'm the tail. The situation cannot tell me I'm the tail, because God says I'm the head, and if God says I'm the head, I'm the head, irrespective of what I can see, hear, or feel, or what people think. Amen. That's why it's so important to focus on the positive things. We can look at a situation. If you look at, when the people had to go and scout out the promised land. You know, only a few people came back and said, we can do this. The rest came and said, you must see the giants. Oh, those big giants. The positive people saw the size of the grapes. The others saw the size of the giants. So all you have to do is just quickly kill the giant and they eat those massive grapes, you know. So there's always upside. Amen. But you can only do that with the word of God and by God's backing and having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. His word, his promises, what he's told us to do and how to do it. So Proverbs 18, verse 21. If we just go there quickly, Proverbs 18, 21 says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." So to give you an example, I'm not going to mention names, but many years ago, we just finished the church building, and we had a men's prayer on a Thursday night, as it's normal prayer now. We were standing, there was a felt fire there in this dry area, right there next to the fence. So we don't know what it is. We don't know if the fire can jump. We don't understand our own spot yet. And this fire goes and goes. And I know a lot of us were just standing there by the stairs, and we were just praying, Lord, turn the wind if you have to turn the wind. Let the fire, you know, we were standing in faith, standing in the gap. We wanted to have this fire dead. And you could see it going down slowly, but it was still moving. So it was coming from my left side to my right side there. And there were still a few little flames there. And someone said, you know, this fire just doesn't want to stop. And immediately the flames went, whoosh, it just went crazy. And Pastor said, there's a lesson to learn out of this, is that power of life and death that's in your tongue. So what you, and oftentimes we do that. We make what we think is an insignificant comment, but it has an extraordinary effect in the spirit. Amen. So yeah, watch what you say. Me, I have to work on it all the time, and I'm sure all of us have to work on our tongues and our hearts because it's so deceitful and so bad. Amen. So what we declare in our situation is very important. So if we look at Daniel, we're just going to use Daniel as an example. If we go to Daniel 6 verse 1. So Daniel 6 verse 1 to 4 talks about a bit about how Daniel was, okay? His character traits and things. So it says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over these three governors, of whom Daniel was one. And the satraps might give account to them so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and satraps because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. So the governors and satraps sought to find some charge against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not find charge or fault because he was faithful, nor was there any error or fault to be found in him. Amen. So if you think about it, that's a great character trait. Amen. If someone can't find fault, I'm not sure how many of you will pass that test, but I won't for sure. But by the grace of God and by his beliefs in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he believed about God, he could stand firm. And if other people, if your enemy looks inward and can't find fault in you, then you must know God is living with you. Amen. So sometimes you don't do anything wrong, but people accuse you and they want to throw you in a lion's den. Amen. You've done nothing wrong. Daniel did nothing wrong. They couldn't find anything against him. Yet they wanted to destroy him because they were probably envying his levels of faith, his levels of commitment, his levels of excellence. Amen. So if you look at Daniel 6 verse 10, it says, now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went home. And in his upper room, with his window open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees three times that day and prayed and gave thanks before God, as was his custom since early days. It was his custom, which means it's what he did every day. Pastor always teaches us, he says, godly men have godly habits. Bad company corrupts good morals. No matter what you do, there's some spiritual principles in our lives. Spiritual principles like bringing your tithe, like honoring your marriage, like the Holy Communion. You know, there's certain things that are holy, certain things that are spiritually protected. And it's one of these things. Daniel had, he was a godly man with godly habits. If Daniel had to now go and get a panic attack, or, you know, start freaking out, you know, like nowadays everyone freaks out and has panic attacks and everyone gets, like, you know, super sensitive. But if Daniel had to do that, imagine, you know, what would have happened, what could have happened. He would have been devoured by the lions. So, you know, he stuck to his plan, he stuck to his formula, he stuck to his faith in God. He didn't waver. Amen. So, I want to take you to Genesis 1, verse 3 quickly. Just want to show you when God speaks, you know, what can happen. So, Pastor mentioned this last week in the sermon as well. He mentioned this verse, Genesis 1, verse 3. It says, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God said, if you look at the rest of the creation, from verse 4 onwards, it keeps saying, and God said, let something be, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good. So when God talks, the result is, it will be good, it will be good. Amen. So before verse 3, verse 1, it says, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. So then it was dark. Darkness was on the earth. Now, Pastor taught us before that he said he believes that, and many other men of God believe that, that could have coincided with the time that Satan was chased out of heaven. And he was hovering on the earth, and that's what brought darkness. Amen. But then God brought the solution by his word, by his confession, by his faith. He said, let there be light. And darkness cannot comprehend light. Have you tried in the sunlight outside to take a little bit of dark into it? You can't. You know, you can't take a piece of dark or a thing that says, I'm going to shine darkness into light. That doesn't work. But where there's darkness, you can bring light in. Light expels darkness. Amen. So no matter what you do, when you start filling your hearts with light and life, your speech will say, there's light, there's life. I'll look at the situation. I'll see the writing has been signed. They're going to throw me in the lion's den. That's fine. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego threw them in the fiery furnace. There was a fourth in the fire. Amen. And we know who that is. So no matter what your situation, remember God himself is a majority. God is a majority. So if you are sitting in a situation and you're linked up with God, by default, you're a majority with God. Amen. So just in closing, a real closing, is I'm not as well-willed as the others to close more than once, but so from today onwards, go and see what it is. You know what it is in your heart that needs change. Go and see what it is. Trust God to help you bring about that change. So go fill your heart with the things of the Lord and the things of the kingdom so that your confession can change. So what dawned upon me this morning while I was going through, pray God help me, it just said, you know what? I've given you my word. I've given you the recipe in my word. I've even given you the faith. And I've given you the word to back up your faith. I tell you that the heart is deceitful. I tell you that life and death is in the power of the tongue. I do everything. I send my son to die on the cross for you so that your sins could be forgiven, so that your situation can be better, so that you can receive the Holy Spirit to understand the word that I give you, to guide the way that you go, to guide the way that you speak, to guide the way that you think. I've given you everything, but we have to remember we have our part to play. Amen. So go out, make a difference, and play your part.
Thanks for listening. Visit www.hoc.org.za to learn more. Household of Christ, loving God, loving people.